Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. This is actually going to be such a special episode because I have Liara Luciano. She's actually the first repeating guest of my podcast. So, round of applause.
Yay.
I actually had Liara back in, I believe, 2019, and that was episode 39. So if any of you want to reference that, you can. And now she's actually on episode 179. So it's crazy. It's about 4 years since we last spoke. And before I keep rambling, hi, Liara, how are you? Thank you so much for being on, and welcome back.
Hi, it's so nice to be back with you. And I cannot believe it's been like time, so much time has passed, but I'm so happy to be your first repeating guest. I
It's so
love it.
yes, it's so exciting. And just to give background, Liara is a native New Yorker, a journalist, a writer, and she's now also the podcast host of What's Your Skincare Routine with Liara Luciano. She launched it this year, right? Correct? In January. So that is a new project, and we are going to dive into it. But before we get started, Liara, give a quick background of your relationship with New York and just growing up here.
Yeah, like you said, I'm born and raised in New York, and my love for New York never dies. I mean, it's New York or nowhere. It's all of the things that people say. It's one of, it's for me, it's still the best place, in the world to live. And I've been fortunate enough to travel so many places. And every time I travel somewhere, I always compare it against, but I want to move here over New York. And there's nothing for me that has yet met the mark. So we'll see. So that's sort of my relationship with New York. It hasn't changed. I'm not sure it ever will. But we'll see. It's to be continued on that.
I think what's beautiful about our friendship is that we are both native New Yorkers. And I don't think that I actually thought about that, but every single time I run into you in events, it's always like you're such a ray of sunshine. I'm always like, hi. Like let's we sit down, we chit chat, we actually have real conversations, and I think it is this natural like gravity towards each other of just being like, you're real, I hope I'm real, and it's just super natural and organic. And I think that's, again, New Yorkers, native New Yorkers are super rare these days, so I love that about us. Okay,
True.
so I referenced your last episode and we spoke about you growing up in Chelsea, your undergrad in NYU, and also we segued into like your advocacy for meditation. And your confession at the time was actually about anxiety. So I want to kind of just, let's go there. How has that been? And can you talk more about just your mental health now?
The same, slightly more evolved. I definitely still have anxious tendencies. I mean, I think when we talked, it was really before the pandemic, which is like, it's a whole other world. I mean, the planet was different, New York was different, and I just feel like, I think I was anxious about different things. And then now, I'm a little more anxious about crowds and germs. I'm not like a, hypochondriac necessarily. And these are like not official medical diagnosis, like that stuff that I'm talking about. But it's just like, you're just more aware of things in a different way. And it's like, I mean, I think if you are already an anxious person, it's like anything can kind of trigger that anxiety in a different way. But for me, it's just sort of like really learning to manage it. And, dealing with it in the situation is one thing. But also with anxiety, I feel like the way that it was I was processing it within my body, it was just sort of like, you tense up. I mean, I'm always constantly like, your shoulders are not like supposed to be attached to your ears. You've got to drop them. And that's definitely something that, I've been doing with meditation, is to incorporate that into a regular practice. And it's definitely not perfect. That's why it's a practice. Like, there's not a meditation mastery per se, at least not for me, maybe for some. but it's also not a competitive sport. So I think that's how I've been. I feel like I've been utilizing meditation. But the other things that I've been doing is, you know, really trying to incorporate things that keep me at ease more. I mean, working on my sleep. I wear a Whoop device to, you know, a lot of people use it for fitness, but I use it. It's a tracker, but I use it really to monitor my sleep and make sure that I'm able to get a restful night's sleep. And, you know, and focusing on sleep also is all about like making sure not just that you fall asleep, but also getting the quality of your sleep. So I am tracking that through my device, but then also I'm doing things like supplementing with magnesium to make sure that, you know, I have better REM cycles and all of that good stuff. And, you know, you can get a little fixated on it too, but I think overall, I think that's kind of where I've come in terms of like making sure I think I've evolved since the last we spoke to being aware of that anxiety and moving to a space where, how am I trying to improve it for myself? How am I feeling when I have the anxiety and like letting it, you know, letting it happen, because you can't always control that. And then from there, okay, how am I recovering from that? That's the way I'm looking at a lot of different things, is sort of the recovery aspect.
Well, I experience anxiety a lot too, so I can definitely relate. But I'm curious to know, have you always been an anxious person? Do you think it has anything to do with either your upbringing or the environment, or honestly being in New York?
I mean, New York is not a quiet city, as mm-hmm. you know. I think, you
like,
know,
do you think New York actually makes your anxiety worse?
You want me to blame New York for my
problems?
No, I
don't. No,
I
love New York. I'm just curious, because sometimes when I travel, and I know you're very well traveled too, I mean, of course, there's like the implication of being on vacation, so you are automatically relaxed. But there are definitely times when I see like maybe New York can add
yes,
to that.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know anywhere else in the world that is so high pressure, high stakes, high energy. And it's just like, if you are missing the mark on any of those, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm behind. I think that puts you in a pretty anxious state, you know, just that sentence. And that's my experience. And, you know, there are some people, I've met people who are, it doesn't seem to affect them that way. I'm like, oh, I guess you're not anxious. That what's that like? That's interesting. But yeah, I don't necessarily think New York is the best place for it, but is it a toxic relationship then? You know, is it that kind of like relationship where it's like, oh, you make me feel this way and maybe I could feel better somewhere else. But when I leave New York and, you know, you do go on vacation, you're like, oh, I'm relaxing. And, but I need that. I feel like I need that energy, but that's my question. Is that not a healthy relationship because I need that energy to like thrive off of it? Or is it just because I'm accustomed to it? I don't know. But I definitely feel like my skills for managing it have been improved, you know, with time and really examining it. Yeah, I don't think New York necessarily helps, because it's not a relaxing or comforting or soothing place necessarily. But on the other hand, you know, my family is here. So for me, there is a bit of that, you know, there is a bit of comfort in, you know, having family close by. So, and a lot of friends, and, you know, I guess, you know, when I, and again, that goes back to like, when I think about living anywhere else, it's like, well, where else could I do X, Y, or Z? I mean, then again, do I actually do X, Y, or Z, you know?
No, you read my mind, because I'm not here to like play devil's advocate or to hate on New York. Like, New York is my homie. I was going to say, actually, even though it's a place that's very high energy, high pressure, high stakes in a way, that, you know, it doesn't really help with anxiety. But at the same time, it challenges us and gives us the opportunity to kind of say like, okay, what are you going to do about it, right? And every time I talk to my guests, I always say, like, New York is not for the weak. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. You only the strong survive here. So that was not like any hate or shade to New York at all.
Oh, I totally get that. I totally get that. But even your question is like very like, I think what other people see is like New York aggressive or like confrontational, like
Yes.
only the strong survive.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is it a competition? Like, is it a reality show? It's like, yeah, kind of is,
I
you
think,
know.
yeah, well, I think also it's definitely competitive, but it's also like every like lifestyle, right? Like some people
Yeah.
just don't want that lifestyle. They don't operate in that way. And it's the same way with like different jobs. Like I can never
Sure.
survive in an office job that's 9 to 5. Like I've been there, done that, not for me. Like I like a schedule where it changes every day. I'm out and about, and some people don't like that. So it's just interesting. And again, when you do find your people, you're like, you're my people. So that was
Yeah,
a
for
whole
sure.
little section about New York. Okay, so I want to talk about your podcast because that is a
Okay.
new baby. And
Yes.
this was something obviously not even in existence 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So walk me through the premise of it and what motivated you to start it.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it's people like you who, you know, you are definitely a strong inspiration. I really admired the
Thank
fact that
you.
you started a podcast, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I've heard people can do this. And then I feel like once you started, every other person I knew was like, oh yeah, I have a podcast. And I'm like, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something to it. And I listened to so many podcasts, like I'm obsessed with them. And then I found out that there are people that don't listen to podcasts. And I'm like, who are you? What? Because especially during the pandemic, that really picked up for me. I was like, you know, listening to so many different, you know, different types of conversations, different formats of podcasts, and just kind of like enjoying them, like mostly for, you know, entertainment purposes, but also seeing like, oh, would I like to do this? Is this something that makes sense? Just because it's like, you know, we can talk a little bit about astrology, but you know, I'm an Aries, but I have a Gemini moon. So I love to talk, and then talk some more. That's definitely the way that I connect with other humans. It's like, if we're not talking, like, I don't know what's going on, but if we're talking, we're good. I can figure it out. So for me, it was just sort of like something that I always felt like drawn to, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna figure it out. And I felt very intimidated to begin with, but I think there was always something for me that I wanted to talk about. It was really around beauty. So that's where the name What's Your Skincare Routine comes from. And it's just sort of like a little bit tongue in cheek because it kind of is a nod to like creators of a certain era, like YouTube era and like early Instagram was like, hey guys, a lot of you have been asking, what's my skincare routine? And it's sort of like a self-prompted thing. And the joke was that no one asked them, like no one ever asked them that, but they're just trying to do this like dialogue and instead of having a monologue. And I thought that was really funny. So that's where the name, What's Your Skincare
I love
Routine,
it.
comes from. And that's something that I always talk with people about. So for me, it's sort of a jumping off point. And from there, you know, it's not a podcast that's just about beauty. It's a little bit about travel, wellness, pop culture, technology. You know, I talk about AI sometimes, and you know, the direction technology is moving in, and travel, you know, various travels that I've had, and you know, even travel trends like for the upcoming year. Since I started my podcast at the top of the year, it was like a lot of trends are kind of discussed at the top of the year, and then it's interesting to see what evolves as we move through the year. And then when it comes to wellness, I did an ice bath challenge in January to see if that would help my anxiety or help,
Did
you
it?
know, help other
Spoiler?
things. Okay, spoiler, mixed results.
Okay.
I really liked it for my physical body, like for inflammation and recovery from working out. However, I think there's something to be said if you're an anxious person, kind of putting your body into that state of shock might not necessarily help. You know, I really loved where I did it. I did it at Remedy Place, and I think they're great. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of bougie. So it's a very nice experience. It's a nice way to do it. But what I was looking for was improvement in sleep. And I found that the days that I did the plunge, and I did them in January, which has 31 days, I did 21 days out of the 31.
Oh my God.
And so basically, like, and it was cold in New York in January. So I was like, there were some days I would have done more, but there were some days where it was so cold. The thought of like putting on a bathing suit and like plunging and then going out, like, because they also tell you, after a plunge, you don't want to shower right away because you want your body to warm itself up to do the work to do that, to get the benefits. So I kind of left like a little damp when I left, you know, and also there's a thing where as humans, and I could totally be wrong, but I feel like I read this like science thing somewhere, or I saw a TikTok about it. I don't know. But there's when you're very cold, you're like, you can't, it's a thing where you can't, you don't know if something is wet or cold. It's the sensation like when you put your hand in the dryer to get towels and you don't know if they're dry yet,
like,
or
damp.
Yeah, you don't exactly know if it's wet or if it's like not warm or if it's just cold. So so it was an interesting thing, and I felt benefits, I think, but also at the same time when I monitored through my Whoop to see what my sleep was, I'm not sure there was much of an improvement. So that's the long story.
Yeah. No, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
I was going to say that we haven't spoke about why I started the podcast, but we have like similar reasoning as well, because I got into podcasts kind of accidentally. I used to always listen to music in my spare time, and then I just felt like my commutes would be long, and don't get me wrong, like, I love music, but I was like, I actually want to get some like useful information. So I started to like dive into different topics about, again, wellness, relationships, psychology, whatever the case is, and I became obsessed. Like, it used to just be like my thing, like, I couldn't wait, and I would be one of those people who, like, every new episode I would like listen to it. I didn't really search for topics. Like, once I found a good podcast, I was like a loyal listener. And I had the same thought. I was like, this is so cool. This isn't something that I'm, you know, I don't have the knowledge, or that's not my expertise. But like, I'm a New Yorker. I think it's so cool to like interview New Yorkers or people living in New York and share their stories. And then I was also intimidated because there isn't much information at the time of how to start a podcast. Like, I had to do everything by myself. And we spoke about this in person the other day, but it's a lot of work. And when you are like a one woman show, you are editing, basically producing, you know, of course, recording. And then there's all the other back end with the graphics, the sharing, booking guests. It's a lot. But I love that we both did it and are doing it, because it just shows that for us, it's a passion instead of like trying to monetize, or like if you have like ulterior motives, which isn't bad. Like, if people want to make it a business, that's fine. But for me, till this day, it's still a hobby. And I love it. So again, I don't know if it's like the New Yorkers, but we just share such similar perspectives. And it's awesome. So I want to ask you, what is your skincare routine? Do you do like 10 steps? Are you a simple girl? Like, let me know.
Yeah, I think I really got into a 10 plus step routine. And then it's just like, I really suffered with acne, adult acne. Like, as a kid, as a teen, my skin was pretty good. You know, like, you know, a few breakouts here and there, and I was like, oh my gosh, the world is ending. And then I was like, you know, looking back, something I would tell my younger self about their skin, I'd be like, girl, it's okay. It's not that serious. Like, once it will go away, and don't pick at it, and wear your SPF. But I think the main thing is I was really looking for solutions. So that's how I really got into skincare. Of course, I was also, you know, writing about it as, you know, as, and contributor. And it was just sort of like finding things. I would get to interview brand founders and dermatologists and kind of talk about these various issues that came up. And then you're just sort of like, okay, well, what should I be doing? Because I want to try everything. And then I found out at some point my skin was getting like reacting to all these new products I was trying. So I really had to cut things down to a bare minimum. So I say all that to say, I feel like there's no, everybody's skincare routine is unique to their skin's needs. And I think your skin's needs change, you know, whether it's seasonal, hormonally, you know, there's a lot of factors. So you just kind of have to be aware of it. So what I really like to do is if I'm always going to be testing new products. So my rule right now is one thing at a time. So my skincare routine. So I think at the end of the day, I'll do a balm cleanser to really help to break down the makeup, and then a milky cleanser as a second step for a double cleanse moment. And then from there in the evening, I'll do something, some sort of active or some sort of product. Like I'm using the Sable Labs, and I have it right in front of me, so I'm going to cheat and look at it.
The okra
face serum, which is really great. It's super hydrating for, you know, for a serum. You think of okra, the vegetable, and that's where it's like, it's just all that ooey gooey goodness. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, some people don't like okra, but mm-hmm. but whatever. So I love it for that. And then I'll follow up depending on where we are. Like it's still pretty winter, still pretty much wintering here. And then I'll follow up with a little bit of a moisturizer. Sometimes I have been trying to incorporate a Retin-A situation, but you know, it can be a little rough. So I'm working on incorporating that and just making sure that I have a nice, like, moisturizing buffer. So, you know, I don't get all of the peeling, and it's something that I kind of alternate throughout the week. So it's sort of, right now I'm probably every 3 days. It's really about skin cycling for me. If you look up skin cycling, mm-hmm. that's pretty much what I do. Especially with, evening, my evening routine. And then for day, it's really most of those steps. I splash water on my face in the morning because I've done a lot of skincare at night. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do a vitamin C serum and maybe sometimes moisturizer in the winter. Usually I skip that in the summer, and SPF, and then makeup from there.
Yeah.
So that's the short answer.
Yeah, I know. You're not needing every single product, but that is similar to mine. But I will say what I need to work on is putting SPF every day, because I know that even if you don't go out or if it's like cloudy and raining, that mm-hmm. it's still important. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I just don't really love SPF. Like, I feel like after moisturizer, my skin feels like really plump and hydrated.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I'm good. And I work home and I stay at home a lot. So, but that is one thing I need to remember.
Yeah. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, but it's definitely worth it. And also SPF is so hard because it's one of those products that you don't see.
Yeah.
You don't see, you know, immediate benefits or mm-hmm. results from, but down the road, staving off, you know, sort of that, you know, that environmental mm-hmm. impact of the sun. So it's sort of like, if you don't do it, you definitely see, you know, whether it's sunspots or wrinkles or whatever mm-hmm. it is for you. But when you do wear it, you notice.
So last time we spoke, again, your confession revolved around anxiety. And
yes.
Now I want to ask Liara if you can share a current and a recent and a relevant city confession. What would that be?
I think I would say my recent confession really is embracing the cringe. As somebody who is sort of a millennial creator, you know, I see the direction that social media is moving, and even New York is moving. It's like you see, like, you know, the cool kids, and you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, you're cool because you're in your 20s and you're thriving and it's great. And you're just like, okay, so what can I do, especially on social media, not to be cool, but like mm-hmm. more to be sort of like, and it's not about relevance, because I want to communicate and connect with people who, you know, are, you know, like-minded, you know, mm-hmm. but it's just sort of like, you've got to try things to push yourself out of your comfort zone. And sometimes that feels cringy. And I think that's sort of what I'm working on being okay with, because you've just got to try new things, especially when you're launching a podcast or, you know, just doing something where you have to, like, you know, something new where you have to network, and it's like, oh, is this going to be awkward? Or like, how do I navigate this? So I think that's my confession, embracing the cringe.
No, that's such a good way to put it. And I feel like that's very insightful, because actually, I feel like you and I and other OGs or whatever, we kind of grew up when social media started to bloom and started to make the shift into becoming a business. Like the term influencer wasn't even a thing. Like we literally coined it. Wow. And now I feel like it's been 10 years and now there's this new generation, Gen Z, that is upcoming. And it is true. Like, first of all, they are so cool. They make me feel so old, even though I feel like, why am I not that cool? But at the same, and then now it's like, we don't understand their language. Remember like when our parents would be like, what, you know, like not understanding us. And now they have all these like cool slang. So it's so interesting to see how the progression of us almost, I don't want to say being irrelevant and I don't want to say being pushed away, but because there's this new generation, it's like, okay, now what are you going to do? You know, of course there's still space, but it's like finding and almost like being flexible and almost reinventing yourself in a way that's true to yourself, but again, is like a new version of you. It's like the weirdest thing, but it's also really interesting and fun at the same time.
I'm definitely about that.
So last time I didn't do like a fire round of New York questions. I just kind of added this little game at the end. So I'm going to ask you 5 New York City related questions and you answer it with the first word that comes to your mind. It's very easy, by the way.
All right. I hope I get it right.
There are no right answers. What is your favorite thing about the city?
Oh, gosh. Everything that there is to do.
What's your least favorite thing?
Crowds.
Describe New York City in one word.
Epic.
What's your go-to spot or like restaurant, cafe?
I don't want to tell.
But it's only between the listeners, you know.
Okay,
it's not
okay.
The whole world.
I have to say, because I'm a downtown girly, I have to say the Seaport because it's quiet and serene, and you're by
such
water.
That's a good one, and it's kind of still like underrated and like a little like. And I feel like not that many people travel there, even if they know about it. It's like they won't go out of their way, but that's like down the where I grew up, so I love that. And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Oh, everything.
I mean, it goes full circle, because in the beginning I was challenging you to talk about New York in a not so positive light, and you were still number one fan, so I'm here for that. Well, Liara, it was such a pleasure speaking with you. I know we're going to do a podcast swap, so that's going to be really interesting and coming soon. But for all of you that are listening or viewing this on YouTube, make sure to expand on the show notes to see all of Liara's information and follow her. And I guess one last question or opportunity is for you to plug away. I know you have your podcast, but do you have any other projects you want to share or anything you like to get support in?
Always. So you can follow me on Instagram at Liara, or, you know, you can also listen to the podcast. You know, I would love to welcome listeners there as well. What's your skincare routine with Liara Luciano? If you're listening to this, you know how to find podcasts. That's about it.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much. And I will talk to you all next week. And I can't wait to be on your podcast soon. All right. Bye.